An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
We are so grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are continuing our study today in John chapter 13. And what an amazing section of Scripture. What a humbling section of Scripture. Peter and all the disciples have witnessed Jesus get up from the head of the table. Of course, they had been arguing over their own greatness. They had been arguing over who gets the greatest position, who's the greatest in the kingdom. This had been an ongoing problem in their lives. And in front of them, Jesus rises up and he walks and he visually transforms himself into a slave. He grabs the towel and our Lord, God incarnate, gets on his knees and he washes their feet. This is an amazing moment in the Gospels. And what I want to interact with a little bit today, what I want us to think about today, is Peter's reaction to this. Peter's reaction really displays in all of us the problem of our own hearts and the way that we approach Jesus and the way that we approach even worship. In verse 8, Peter sees this and he says, "You shall never wash my feet." And that just exposed a big problem, didn't it? The problem is made really clear. They don't get the purpose for which Jesus has come, and they're being set apart to represent what they don't yet understand. What don't they understand? Here's the question today I want you to think about here on Abounding Grace. Isn't this life about us serving the Lord? Well, sure. That has its proper place. That has its proper response. We should serve the Lord. But is that our primary thing as Christians? On Peter's mind is, aren't we here to do something for you? Remember, this is how they are establishing their place at the table. Who's done the most? There's no doubt in my mind, Peter was thinking. And if this would have been presented, Peter would have said, "Lord, I'll wash your feet. That's not a problem. I would be grateful to wash your feet. This is not, though, about you getting down to do mine." And here maybe we're beginning to see how close we are to that thinking. Is it really so far from us this morning? Why do you come to the Lord? Why do you go to worship? Let's just focus on worship for a minute. You say, "Well, I go there. I go to worship the Lord. I go to offer up to the Lord." And then I ask, "Well, what do you think's happening in worship?" This is a really all-important question, isn't it? I mean, this is a huge question because many Christians don't understand this, and it affects what you do then. Most likely, you're going to answer to that question, why are you coming to worship? You're going to say, "Well, I'm coming to praise and offer up to the Lord for his goodness." Amen. That's a good answer. But ultimately, is that our need? Have we ultimately come to offer something to God? Now, what do we offer to God? I said yesterday we have about three things we do in worship that go up. What goes up? Well, we sing music, we give an offering, we pray, and I'm pretty sure it's in all of us that if we are faithful in our offerings, if we are faithful in giving very eloquent and meaningful prayers, if we have the best music, we're going to get really close to Jesus. Think that's in us? Of course that's in us. And this probes us a little bit to think about what we're doing in worship, what our need is, and really how misleading much of today's worship is. It's not honest, is it? If we're coming to offer up primarily something to God, what do we have to do? We have to create the best model, the best preparation, the best anticipation, the best possible things that we could think of that make us feel that we have drawn close to God. Now, this is a really important point. This is highlighted today with Christian music, isn't it? I've always been amazed, and I've said this before on Abounding Grace, but I really hope we don't forget the point that God gave us a songbook, didn't he? And in that songbook, it's never endless repetition or vain repetition. You don't have that in a way that is not meaningful. There is repetition, but it's not vain repetition. The Psalms are balanced, aren't they? They give us all different kinds of Psalms for worship. You have lamentation, which are deep cries and woeful cries because of the hurt, because of the sorrow, because of sin. And then you have imprecatory Psalms, which the authors are crying out for God's justice against enemies. You have messianic Psalms that show us the Messiah. You have praise Psalms that exalt the Lord in his wonderful goodness. How do we enter worship today? Typically, what you have is some guy who welcomes everyone and gets it started, and the show begins. And everything's focused in that first 20 minutes or so on really trying to bring people up to God through the music. Isn't that it? Sure it is. That's what's going on. They're really trying to tug on the heartstrings. They're really trying to present a big production to get people in a worshipful state. I've always thought, is that really honest, and is that the purpose of worship? I mean, can you imagine beginning one of these worship services today with Psalm 22? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Whoa. God doesn't hear? God's people used to sing these songs in worship. The Psalms are honest about life. They're giving perspective about hardship, about trials, about afflictions, about sufferings. They're real. And this is exactly the way the scriptures present often music. Sure, there are a variety, but it's teaching us something about the approach to the Lord. Worship often becomes today a sort of tonic to avoid the realities of sin and suffering. And so we do everything we can to create an atmosphere that lifts us up to God. Music, drums, worship center, stage, espresso bar, everything that makes us feel comfortable and good about getting into a worshipful state and taking us off to Him. Is that what this is? You see, this approach makes the assumption that all we need for our life struggle is just to draw close to God with a good amount of encouragement. And the applications today and the way we approach God is just making the assumption that we've been derailed from being all that God really wants us to be. And you know what's happened? Just like Peter, we've not really listened to our Lord about what our real problem is and our real need. Instead, we end up pandering to what we think people want and what we think they need when we've not listened to how God has defined that need. So I want you to think about this here today. Peter has come. The Lord has stooped down to serve him. And Peter is saying, no way, I serve you. That's what this is about. That's what this whole thing is about. I need to serve the living God. Amen. We need to serve, but that is not our primary need. And that's the point of this passage today. We're stuck here with the question, who do you think has the need in this life, dear listener? It's bad enough. You have to wash their feet, but you're not washing my feet, Jesus. I'm not taking a handout here. Get off your knees. You don't have to stoop that low for me. We understand this, right? We understand this following thing as doing something for Jesus. And so Peter says, never. You're not touching my feet. Now, it's at this point helpful to remember that Jesus keeps emphasizing that they don't understand what he's doing. You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will. And then after he washes the feet, he sits down. Do you understand what I've done to you? And that is the big question. Do you understand? Do you understand my mission? Do you understand what your need is? What Jesus was saying is, my washing, dear sinner, identifies you with me. If you refuse this washing, you have no connection to me whatsoever. And what a perspective about need, isn't it? When you come to worship, let me ask this question. Who is doing the serving? That just requires a long pause. Who's receiving? In other words, you know, is Jesus putting out his feet to us? Or are we putting out our feet to Jesus? That is such an important question, because when we finally begin to understand what worship is, we finally begin to understand that yes, we're responding in thanksgiving. We're responding in thanksgiving to the fact that Jesus has stooped so low, got off his throne to wash us, begging, needing sinners that we are. And you see, that's the whole mission that Jesus here is talking about. You know, what do they say evangelism is? Evangelism is one beggar showing another beggar where he found bread. And you see, Jesus is demonstrating this to his disciples today. When we come with this mindset, we have a whole different approach to worship, don't we? Our first question is not going to be, what am I coming here today to bring to God and offer to God to draw close to God? That's not going to be your first question. That may be an important question, but that's not your first question. When we come first with that question, we end up in a fight over who is the greatest in the kingdom. When we come with that kind of approach, we end up thinking that by our actions, by our offerings, by our good music, by our really meaningful prayers, we're getting the best seat closest to Jesus that day. And that's the fault of Peter. Instead, we come with the realization and with the question, Lord, I need you today. Will you wash me by your powerful gospel? When that sort of mindset is in us, we're not like the Pharisee at the front of the church saying, look at my prayers, look at my great works, look at my great actions. We're at the back, beating our breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we're in that place, when we have that kind of mindset, when that kind of spirit is driving us, it is then that Jesus stoops low with a towel and he washes us. He washes us, he cares for us, he nourishes us and assures us that everything that has been done, everything that is needed to be done has been done by his blood and righteousness. Dear sinner, put out your feet to Jesus. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.